The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
In 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to the Rawcast. I'm your host, Don Delarente, and I'm joined by my co-host, none other than Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
What's going on, Don? Listeners, it's Tuesday, and we're here to talk some professional wrestling. Well, the Rawcast especially, but we might go on a bit of tangents and so be on the lookout for that.
Yes, sir. This is the Rawcast provided to you by the WrestleCast, which is brought to you by the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe through the WrestleCast network at the WrestleCast-the-CSPN. Just look for the logo with the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and the Rawcast will show up in your podcast feed each and every week. So, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I like to call this the Mo Meltzer segment of the show. Any pressing news that you'd like to bestow upon the listeners before we start into the Monday Night Raw review?
Well, I know Liv Morgan has I think a WWE Chronicle. I need to check it out. I've been reading that's pretty good. Like a lot of. She's getting a lot of praise for her work from like the likes of Bayley, Sami Zayn. You know, I think Sami said he had wanted to do something with her, but she got, you know, she was into the, I think it was like, I don't know if it was the Rusev storyline or it was the Riot Squad or something like that, but he had wanted to work with her. She gets a lot of praise for her work backstage and everything, so you know, anybody get a chance on the network, give that a watch. Leon Ruff, he's engaged to the female ref that's in NXT. Is it AJ?
Aja Wilson.
Yeah. Aja Wilson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just announced their engagement.
Leon Ruff got that North American title Monday.
Hey, you know, you win the title, say, hey, number, you know, put the ring on it. Keith Lee, he's talked to him. So, you know, we've been having issues about, he's talking about his music. So, right. I guess he's still hands on with his music and everything, his new theme song. And it's starting to catch on to me. It wasn't like the NXT version, you know, definitely not that. He says he likes to make tweaks on it and everything. He wants to be, he said he has evolutionary ideas for his current music and everything. So
he needs to get to evolving then, because he set a very high mark with the NXT music and he right. still came up short with this newer music, though it was better than the generic version of whatever that was they trotted him out with for the first couple of months.
Yeah, and then he still says that his gear, that's unfortunately not his
calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Vince definitely is like probably looked at that and said, "No,
tuck that away, son."
Yeah, the Slammy Awards are coming back.
Oh, word!
Yeah, the Slammy Awards are coming back in December.
Oh man, that means they're gonna make me do some work. I'm gonna have to go through here and go through all these notes and try to put together some El Dandies for this year.
Yeah, they didn't.
They've been taking a break on it the last couple of years.
Yeah. It was like a part of Raw. It was like they had made a part of Raw and everything. But they, it's like they had the announcement. Like, you know how, like, when you, if you look, you'll see this is what's coming to Netflix in December. So WWE is trying to jump on that with the network. And they have, they got Drew and, he got something with Matthew McConaughey. Takeover War Games is coming. Keith Lee has a 24. The Survivor Series Day of Goldberg Streak. Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Hopefully they're doing last year's Survivor Series and not this year.
No, this year, 2020.
Last year was much more Keith Lee centric. With him ticking over.
No! This is the 24. So I don't know. They might be talking about that. But I'm talking about Survivor Series. They talking about, I guess, the day of. I guess.
I got you. Yeah, like they gonna show you all.
Yeah, but last year Keith Lee was red hot. You know, even though Roman got the pin on him, but he was definitely red hot in that Survivor Series match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And TLC's coming in December as well too. So they gonna have some things going on. They got a lot of things coming up. Also, I meant to talk about this. I probably say last week. So Mercedes Martinez, the reason why she dropped out the Retribution angles because of the. Yeah, I said it was COVID related. And I think she has asthma. So, with all the, I guess the outbreaks that was happening in WWE, she was more likely being careful of herself because she still has family and everything that she looks after. So,
oh yeah, gotta look after yourself because no Vince ain't going to.
Right. So that's those are like. That's the reason why she dropped out that angle, and then we really haven't seen her over the past ever since that. Like she, the last time she was on there, but then next thing you know, it was like she's gone. She's not in the graphic, and we're like, "Oh, what's going on?" So that's what it was. She's dealing with asthma, and then she has like other family that she has to look after too. So.
Okay. Well, hopefully she is okay and healthy and, can't be, upset with somebody taking precautions for their health and their well-being of their family. So, hopefully she's, clear mind and, when she's able to come back, she'll come back and we'll be entertained.
Yeah, so that's all I got. Probably some other stuff, but if it comes up, I'll mention it. Throughout the show. That's how we did.
Yeah, so that's the reason why you never really think about like one person, doing something like that. But that's the reason why like Robert Stone hadn't really been on NXT here lately.
Because
all of that was all tied in with her.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, so just the ripple effects that you never really think about. But yeah, her deciding to step away from NXT and the Performance Center has totally changed what he had going on, him and Aaliyah and their little, story that they were starting to kind of craft there. Right. So it's just a ripple effect that.
Hey, I've been seeing Aaliyah on TV too. That was great seeing her on TV. It was. It was so great seeing her on TV. It was just
she was trying to improve. She hadn't gotten to the level of Liv Morgan improved, but she was getting there.
Well, I mean, she was great in other areas, so you know.
Oh, okay. See, delving into a creep-tastic moment here. Speaking of creepcast, it was Naomi's birthday on Monday.
Yeah, I know, and she still has me blocked, and I'm still not pleased behind that because I still didn't do anything to that woman. And I'm like, I'm just a fan just like everyone else is. And then, one day I just see that I'm blocked and I'm like, this is wrong. But she doesn't have me blocked on Instagram. So I guess
that's the workaround.
I could say,
visuals versus letters, characters, which ones would you rather have?
I had a visual. You mean do my visuals?
Okay, so you know you might not be missing out as much as you claim to be by not being able to follow her on Twitter.
Right, but you know, it's all good. y'all. I mean, y'all. As long as y'all get to enjoy her wackiness. It's all good.
Yes. So definitely. Hopefully, she had a awesome birthday. Hopefully, her recovery is going well, and she will be returning to the ring very, very soon, because we definitely miss Naomi on SmackDown and Raw, whichever show that she eventually ends up on.
Did she get drafted to Raw?
I think she got it drafted to Raw, but you know, that was so long ago.
Yeah, she did get drafted to Raw, because they was talking about, you know, they thought Jimmy was going to be on there as well, but he's still on SmackDown, still popping up on SmackDown and everything, so... You never know. Like I said, you never know. They might be some kind of, oh, we have a trade.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's all you got for the Mo Meltzer segment of the show?
Braun's legit injured. I think we all know this, but he has a legit knee injury. That's the reason why he attacked Adam Pearce and why he got suspended indefinitely. So he has a legit knee injury.
How long has he been, dealing with that for a minute?
Might have been if he's taking time off, because they was going to have him go against Drew at TLC. Mm. But, you know, we already know who won that match last night.
Right. So. Right. Again, just one person can change the whole direction of everything with just one little injury, or you know, decide to not risk the COVID, and you know, everything's different. So hopefully it's not a serious injury for Braun, and he can recover and get back to action fairly soon. Hopefully it's just a minor procedure he's got to go through, but with a guy that big, there's nothing minor about knee surgery. So we'll get into the review of Monday Night Raw. We start off with Miss Alexa Bliss in the middle of the ring for a moment of bliss. She introduces Randy Orton. Alexa's all smile, sitting cross-legged in her chair as Orton awaits her questioning. She says she gets his mood, especially considering last week. Orton says that he and the Fiend have a lot in common. The one main difference is that for all of the Fiend's pain and suffering is worn on his exterior for everyone to see. All of Orton's is kept bottled up so that he can blend in. The voices he hears and the Fiend hears them too. The voices the Fiend hears are Orton's. Alexa seems confused. She says that's not what the Fiend told her. Orton says that the Fiend didn't tell her years ago. Orton had to make a choice to figure out what Bray's weakness was, and he found it and burned it to the ground. So now he knows what he needs to do. He needs to find the Fiend's weakness, his vulnerability, and he thinks it's right in front of him. Alexa smirks and then smiles. She wonders if the voices that in Orton's head, if that's what they're telling him. Are they lying to him? She'll ask him right now. Who's manipulating who? Alexa stands face to Orton's chest. A section of the lights go out. Orton says, "See what I mean?" Another section goes out, and Alexa says, "See what I mean?" The lights go out completely. Alexa hops into Orton's arms. The red lights go back on, and the Fiend is in the ring. He reaches out for Alexa. He holds out his arms. Orton hands her over and then runs out of the ring. Orton walks backwards up the ramp, screaming, "Who's laughing now?"
So apparently there's been some talk all around about this segment. Okay. Now, from what a lot of people was pointing out, the fact that when the lights came back on, Alexa was in
already in Randy's arms.
Right. Using Randy's arms and everything. And it wasn't like no kind of resistance or anything like that. It was just basically she's there, and it wasn't like, it was just just Dana's like kind of like playing like, why is she in his arms and why is she, is it like, is she's the manipulating Bray, or is it that, you know, is it just some other kind of underlying issue going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just a lot. It's just people just, it's just like a lot of talk going around today just wondering, was that a major flaw that in her, by having her in his arms when the lights came back on, and then Fiend had holding his arms over for him to give, to put for Randy to give her back to him and everything.
Yeah, I think that's really what they wanted to convey, was that, you know, he cares about Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton has figured that out. But yes,
yeah, they're saying that he's being booked. They're saying Bray's being booked as a babyface.
Yeah, we needed to see like him snatch Alexa up or something to make the Fiend come out, and not just she just waiting in his arms. But I guess they figured that they didn't want to go to that level on television,
right?
To have Randy Orton do something enough to make the Fiend have to come out. But you know, one, you know, plot hole. I mean, come on, it's WWE. We've endured worse when it comes to their creative. Like this match, Elias versus Jeff Hardy, Symphony of Destruction match. I thought this was over 3 weeks ago when they had the guitar on the pole match and he hit him with that super guitar shot.
That's what we thought.
Man, talk about, again, like we talked about in the dark match, creative from like, this is like the show he ripped up 3 weeks ago. He picked it back up and was like, you know what? Dust this back off again. It's not really a bad show. So they just put it on this week. But yes, they have a Symphony of Destruction match, meaning they have all types of musical instruments scattered about the ring. So this is going to be a plunder hardcore match. Jeff is on the apron. He flies off and Elias hits a knee strike. Elias sends Jeff over to a nearby piano. The hood of the piano is shaking. Elias reveals that R-Truth is hiding in the piano. Out come the 24/7 goons to chase R-Truth. Jeff back body drops Drew Gulak as Elias drops Grand Metalik. Elias smacks Lindsay with the guitar, and Jeff does the same to Gulak. Back to the match. Elias has the neck of a broken guitar and heads to the outside to stab Jeff with it. Jeff moves, and Elias gouges a nearby speaker. Sparks fly, and Elias appears to have been shocked. Jeff hits him with the cello, then beats him down on the table near the steps. Jeff drops the violin on his stomach, then he grabs a bunch of little guitars and stacks them up on Elias. Jeff then goes to the top rope. Then he does the swanton dive off of the top rope to the outside through the table. Jeff's head hits the edge of the ring steps. Jeff plays the tambourine as a ref counts the pin. 1, 2, 3. And Jeff Hardy defeats Elias in the Symphony of Destruction match.
Yeah, that last spot where Jeff hits the swanton off the ring, off the turnbuckle, and his head hits the steps, and I'm watching that in slow motion, and I'm like, how is he playing the tambourine after this?
Yeah, definitely shocked and amazed that he was not instantly in concussion protocol.
Right.
Your thoughts, sir, on the feud that seems like it will never end?
Right, they said this is the feud that doesn't end, it goes on and on, my friend. Wow, that's just, I mean, it was a great match for what it was worth, but we thought, like you said, we thought this was over months ago, and you know, it's just, they just keep playing in our face, we're tired of it.
Yeah, you know, the matches that we really want to see, they never want to give you the same match over and over and over again. Matches we don't care about, oh man, they give you like 3 months worth of them joints.
Right.
Like, come on.
Man, we're gonna let you watch that again.
Right, exactly.
We just saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
We saw different variations of it.
Backstage, Riddle comes up to Keith Lee, and he is pumped for the match tonight. He says he's nervous, but imagine if he or Lee becomes WWE champion. It'd be a dream come true. Keith Lee has had his chance, but Riddle has never faced Drew. He won't shut up, and Keith Lee looks at his watch. Riddle continues to talk, and we pan out to see that Keith Lee has left the conversation. Matt Riddle was on it during that promo.
And then, oh, never mind. We'll talk about the how he really was on it when we come up later on. But keep going.
Retribution is backstage. They call us a fool, saying that not one man can change everything. It's a lie, and when we accept that this is a lie, maybe they will accept Ricochet. Easy for me to say. Slapjack is front and center as Ali asks why Ricochet can't see what he sees. He's been pushing the same boulder. What has happened to him has already happened to all of them. Promises have been made to them. Lies. Their dreams turn into nightmares. Ricochet is supposed to be standing next to them. Slapjack says he used to be blind. Ali showed him. He was left a husk of a man. The world saw him as a joke, but not Ali. He is a weapon for retribution. Ali says Ricochet made his decision, so tonight Slapjack will make him face the consequences of that decision. And maybe, just maybe, Ricochet will see what Ali sees. Then we get a quick Ricochet promo where he talks about, you know, having to beat some sense into retribution, or beat some respect into retribution on his behalf. So that
leads, yeah, they got that was the one that was on his Twitter page, and they were and I know a couple of sites was talking about it, and then all of a sudden they used it on Monday Night Raw. It's like he could have been on the show cutting that, but no, y'all had that man on main event. They're in the main event lane.
It probably wouldn't have came off as strong if he cut it on TV, because he would have tried to ricochet it up. That looked like they had a little bit of a Trevor in it and a little bit less ricochet.
It did. Right.
So that was probably beneficial on his behalf for it to be.
So would you say that Slapjack is the favorite of Retribution? Because I see a lot of talk about him being the cult hero of the group.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but okay. If that's what they say,
I see a lot of people say that they like him out of everybody in the group, and I'm just like, he's the favorite? I was like, well, I mean. I know our little hashtag group, we kind of favor Mia Yim, and we'll talk about her, but
yeah, I don't know. That's the first I've heard of anybody really saying that they had a quote unquote favorite. I thought most people would just be rocking with Ali by default.
Slapjack is the man in these streets.
All right, well, that's Mo Meltzer coming in with the news, teaching me something, because I had no idea about what the streets were saying about Retribution. But Slapjack versus Ricochet. Dana Brooke comes out of nowhere, grabs Ali, turns him around, and slaps him in the face. She tells him to tell his girl that she's looking for her.
Oh, she went that me and Yim, that reckoning smoke.
Ricochet kicks T-Bar off the apron. Now Mace as well. He swipes at Ali. That allows Slapjack to hit him with his finisher and get the pin and the win over Ricochet. Back to main event.
That is.
Back to main event.
I'm just saying, when Ricochet was Prince Puma in Lucha Underground, he wasn't giving, we weren't getting no slouch matches from him. We had some good content
over
on that side.
A few 5-star efforts, if I might even throw in myself.
Hell, we had him and Morrison and Mundo. Yeah. Sick of this.
Well, I mean, that's what happens, man. I mean, it's always been the case. Even during the Attitude Era, Once you go to WWE, WWF, whatever, they're going to dumb you down. They're going to strip away most of what people like about you.
Like, you were a star in that company, but we're going to take that all away and we're going to make you how we want you to be.
Right.
It's, and everybody's like, what?
it's like Keith Lee, right? Okay, so if you know Keith Lee, you've been watching Keith Lee for the last 4 to 5 years. What makes Keith Lee so special is that he's 70 pounds, and he can do half of the
cruiserweight moves
that the cruiserweights can do, right?
Right.
But if you watch Keith Lee's presentation on Monday Night Raw, you would not know any of that because they have totally stripped that away from him and made him wrestle like every other big 300-pound dude in WWE has always wrestled. Emphasize your power. Don't go down a lot. If you do go down, it has to be some Herculean effort. But you don't really get the essence of what made everybody fall in love with Keith Lee, which is the man can do a top rope Spanish fly at 360 pounds.
Right.
And maybe on one big show, you'll get a chance to see it. He'll get a chance to break it out. But more than likely, no, you won't. And people will always be repressed to be like suppressed, to get the real Keith Lee that they really, 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 really fell in love with in NXT. So that's the only drawback about this current run with Keith Lee, besides the music and the gear, is it's a really dumbed down his moveset too.
It's a horrible mess, and we just sit there like we can't do nothing about it because this is Vince call.
Yeah. The Miz and John Morrison, they're in the middle of the ring for Miz TV. Miz and Morrison invite Sheamus out. They ask about Thanksgiving. Sheamus wants to know what the point is. Miz says they're out here for a friendly interview. Morrison wants to get to know him. Miz and Morrison really want to know about Drew McIntyre. Miz talks about Sheamus giving Drew's family chest, but what did Sheamus get in return? Definitely not a sword. Miz wonders why Drew forgot about Sheamus. Maybe he forgot. Maybe success has gotten to Drew's head, or maybe Drew thinks Sheamus is jealous. Sheamus says he and Drew are like brothers. Miz says Drew has something Miz wants and something Sheamus wants. Morrison says if they were friends or brothers, Drew would have already given him a title shot. Miz says as soon as he cashes in his title shot, Morrison is first in line. Miz says during their tag team match, Sheamus cashes in years of repressed resentment, and Miz cashes in his briefcase. Sheamus signs this off. He says there's a lot of people who don't think much of Miz, but he's got a good sense of humor. Miz wonders when the last time Sheamus even tasted a title. 5 years ago, for 2 months, you want to laugh at Sheamus's career because it's a joke. Sheamus removes his jacket. Sheamus tosses his hat in the face of John Morrison and clocks the Miz. He sends Miz to the outside. Morrison hops on Sheamus's back. Sheamus tosses him over and beats him down with some right hands. Miz stops Sheamus in his tracks with a couple of briefcase shots to the back. And that's how this edition of Miz TV ended.
Oh, boy.
This was...
So,
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say... This actually worked for me because when I first saw the graphic that Sheamus was going to team with Drew to go against The Miz and John Morrison, I'm like, why is he wrestling against The Miz and John Morrison? They ain't done nothing to him. But then we get this Miz TV, which makes it justified.
Right. But I just want to say, that the sword that he carries, it's Vince McMahon's sword.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was a gift given to him from Triple H and Stephanie. And I guess they're using that to... I guess Vince has a certain way that he wants Drew to carry it. And that's the reason why we see him carry it the way that he carries it.
Okay. I mean, can you imagine? Like, man, where do you get the man who has everything and can buy anything he wants? Oh, well, let's go get him a sword. Okay.
Right.
That'll work. He didn't have one of those.
So. He didn't. So they just like, all right, we got you. Next sword for you.
Drew McIntyre must be in pretty good graces, man, if he's getting, you know, Vince McMahon's personal property to come out to the ring with.
Right.
Don't see Vince just, you know, willy-nilly breaking that out for just anybody on the roster.
I mean, he was the chosen one.
This is true. This is true. Asuka assumes Lana knows Japanese as they're talking backstage. Lana is just agreeing and saying yes every time Asuka says yes, so it's kind of funny. Sarah runs up to Lana to ask what they were just talking about. Lana says Sarah wouldn't understand, but Shayna and Nia are about to. So Lana and Asuka versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Lana tags in. She hits a crossbody, but Shayna Baszler rolls through it. Nia pulls Asuka off the apron. Shayna locks in the Karafuta clutch in the middle of the ring. Asuka rolls into the ring. She breaks the hold with a running PK to Shayna's chest. Lana covers Shayna, and Lana and Asuka get the win over the tag team champions.
Yeah, so oh my goodness. So this push to get Lana over to babyface is really in the swing of it. And the fact that she pinned Shayna 2 weeks in a row. Oh boy, there's going to be consequences behind that.
You just not believe in it?
I mean, you can do anything to have somebody, you could do just about anything to have make somebody look strong. You know, they can do it for anybody.
Right.
And it's just we've seen it, and I'm just like, okay. This is who they want to put throw the push behind. Okay. It's fine, let's do it. And it was funny that Miro had said on Twitter, he was like, I don't know if I can add you, but he said, at Lana WWE, you go, girl. And then Tony Khan comes under that and goes, of course you can. Yeah, so I guess it seems to be working, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm just watching this going every week. And I said, is this going to lead to Lana getting Lana and Asuka becoming the tag team champions? There's so much they could do with those women tag team titles, but they're just not doing it. And, you know, I'm like, I get it.
That's not what we were promised when these titles were
introduced. Right. Right. I mean, come on now. Asuka and Kairi Sane and Bayley and Sasha, they don't need to go down to NXT to challenge to serve a proper challenge. We ain't getting that with Nia and Shayna.
Right.
Also, and another thing they as something point out about Nia. So it was a part in the match where she ducked under Asuka's clothesline, and she was supposed to take the dive outside the ring, but she didn't do it quite right. She kind of like used the, I think because she used, because you know when Lana pulled down the rope,
right?
It was kind of it's like telegraphed when you watched it, and I was like, like that ain't supposed to happen. Because then when she did it, she goes outside the ring, but she like uses the ring, the apron, and then she falls to the floor. And I was like, really? But she tried to, but then on Twitter she said she was trying to take little Jimmy. He hated coming.
Well, at least she's a good sport about it.
She is.
You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that her Twitter, that's probably like the least of her worries when it comes to a Twitter. People being on her Twitter talking to her about stuff, you know, given that, you know, she has injured quite a few people during her time in, on the main roster. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was light work to explain why you didn't, you know, go through the ropes as smoothly as people think you should. On that spot.
So they was like, they were like, you didn't. They was like, what is she doing? I'm like, oh, goodness grief. Y'all nitpicking everything.
Yeah, man. Those WWE centric fans, man, that only watch WWE, man, they are ruthless.
They are
ruthless. Backstage, Sheamus is favoring his back. Drew walks up to him with a smile. Sheamus takes offense. Drew says, it's a little funny. Drew says, Miz was right. That's some quality TV. Sheamus says, it was a bit of fun, but thanks for having Sheamus' back. Drew says, that's why they've always gotten along. Is he in the zone, ready to knock the heads off of them? Tonight's the main course. They're going to finish what they started. So the Scottish stepbrothers are... having fun back there, rejoicing and you know, bringing back old times.
Yeah, like, remember we did this. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like you know, when you get together on the holidays with your friends from college, right, or your friends from back home which you haven't seen in a while, and everybody starts reminiscing about who did what and, you know, so forth and so on.
Like, yeah, man, you did this and you did that.
Remember when we did this? Yeah.
Like, remember that girl you should talk to? Man, she was an ugly looking girl. Yeah, I married her. Oh, congratulations.
See, that's the type of things that get you blocked by Naomi on Twitter, man.
I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying that's just conversations that just occur. I wouldn't say that.
Kofi and Xavier Woods are in the middle of the ring. They have reason to celebrate. Kofi brings up Woods being the newest co-host of G4. Woods says,
but "Hold on, that's a hold on. That's a good time. We could have brought up during the witch name, but I figured we talk about this during the show. Now, G4 was that great channel, you know, that just has all like video game centered and everything, and the fact that they bring in Xavier on as a host is a good look because he took his love of video games to a whole other level in the WWE.
Yeah, he's actually one of the few people who was able to maintain his third party joint because I think it has some type of ties to WWE.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's, you know, video games is, you know, a part of that brand, you know, so they have to, you know, they kind of, you know, hey, we can get some money off of that.
Right. He's kind of the go-between for that avenue of promotion.
But they have their video game circle is huge back there, you know, you got.
Oh, yeah. They don't go out and raise hell in bars anymore. They go.
Of course, because we got video games. So
they go play video games.
look, see what I was talking about a couple weeks ago about the rest, how the ties, the wrestling has changed.
Right.
Like, they used to go to bars and do crazy stuff like that. We're like, nope. Are we done? All right. We back there. We playing video games. Let's go.
Right.
Grab some leftover food from catering and we can set this thing off right.
Yes, so wrestlers don't raise hell anymore. They just play video games.
Or they go buy like action figures and stuff like that, or they'll do just other random stuff. They're, like I said, they don't have to go to bars no more and sit in the bars. You used to hear them stories from back in the day too, like, yeah, they go out after the shows and they be at the bars. I'm like, no, they didn't. And then come to find out when we're back in the NWA days, and how they said the Four Horsemen would close down some bars when they came to Baltimore, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh yeah, they said they used to leave. Ric Flair said that there's this one spot in Raleigh that on Tuesday nights when they would shoot the TV show, that they would stay open just so they could come in after the taping and have drinks and stuff.
See, they looking out. They look out for their wrestlers.
Yeah, man, especially here in North Carolina, because especially in the 70s and very early 80s, there was no professional sports teams here.
Right.
So the main attractions were college basketball, NASCAR, and professional wrestling. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you were a professional wrestler, yeah, you were definitely a super duper star in the state of North Carolina. And if you were Ric Flair, especially in the 70s and 80s, you were like a mega, mega star.
Look, Ric Flair had to pay for no drinks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Except I'm on his tab right now. Yeah.
After they bring up Woods being the new host of G4, Woods says things are important to him becoming future king of the ring. He's really pressing for that. Woods says that video games are his happy place. It's where his people be. Thanks for supporting him. He thanks us. Woods now wants to practice with the recap of the Hurt Business and their inability to win the title. Woods and Kofi give us a flashback sequence from 2 weeks ago, then last Monday, including the weird false finish. Finally, they go over the match immediately after, where they won the match. The Hurt Business is here with Cedric and Shelton. MVP says that their math is wrong. He says they are 2-2. The ref raised their hands when Kofi and Woods got counted out. They are all tied up. That's okay. The next time they put the titles on the line, their reign will seem like a distant dream. Shelton says they won't just take the titles. They're going to hurt them. This ends with the Hurt Business standing tall and them two in their next dream sequence. Cedric runs into the ring and says it was by pure luck that they won. He ain't Shelton. He hopes the G4 gig is a dream come true, because that's all Woods is going to have. And then he attacks Xavier Woods, and that leads us to Cedric Alexander versus Xavier Woods. It is so funny. Did you see Xavier Woods almost laughing in Cedric's face when he ran in the ring?
Yes.
He was biting his lip, and then at the end, he was like, "Oh, I thought you were gonna keep it to Hurt, but okay, dreams. That's cool." It's like he went off the script or something.
Okay, so when we finish talking about this, it's just this whole sequence is just funny. It's not funny, but I know they're not planting. But let's talk about the match, and then we'll talk about the certain little things that we just saw.
Okay. Xavier Woods looks for a powerbomb, but Cedric reverses into the brainbuster. We get a cover for a two count. Cedric pulls Woods to the apron. He goes for a suplex. Cedric kicks the ribs and shoves Woods to the outside. Cedric kicks the ropes. Suicide dive. Woods shoots Cedric into the barricade back first, though. He kind of like reversed it. Woods sends Cedric into the ring. The ref is at 8. Xavier Woods rolls in. He gets hit with a lumbar check. 1, 2, 3, Cedric Alexander is your winner.
It's dope that they put in putting over the younger talent. I mean, Cedric's not that young, but he's been around for he's been around for years though, but it's good that he's just putting over the younger talent and everything.
Yeah, they're giving him the rub. They gave Street Profits the rub. Now they're giving Cedric Alexander the rub.
Now, MVP and Shelton was looking at him like he had lost his mind.
When he said, "I'm not Shelton,"
huh?
When just the way he was on 10 during the whole interview.
Yeah, because when he left the match, Shelton and MVP in the ring looking, and he up there about to go backstage. I was like, "What are you doing, son?"
Yeah, Shelton.
Like, Go ahead.
I was going to say, Cedric was on, yeah, he was on something different last night.
He definitely was on something different. It was just funny just,
cause he was,
just seeing him.
Yeah, because he was, like I said, the promo, he kind of threw Xavier Woods off with the promo. The way he was wrestling like 100 miles an hour.
He looking at him like homeboy, what's like, going on?
Slow down. But this was a fun match. The ending, the finish was kind of weak, though, with just, you know, roll back in the ring, get hit with the lumbar check, and it's over. But up until that point, yeah, this was a really good match, really fun match.
Right.
Xavier Woods, underrated wrestling ability. I mean, I know the promo and you know, all the extracurricular activities, the YouTube channels and all that. But when it comes down to it, man, he can go. Yeah, he can go.
But he wants to be king of the ring, so.
Yeah. If you want to be king of the ring, you got to be able to go.
He wants that title. You know,
well, I'm pretty sure a lot of people will be happy if he was able to take that away from Baron Corbin at some point in time in the very near future. Next on the card, we get lost in my notes, so hold, bear with me, folks. So we get back to the place here, live podcasting. Up to this point in Monday Night Raw, what'd you think so far? Were you enjoying it?
I had to go back it was last week. I had fell asleep, but I fell asleep during the Hardy Elias match, but I went back and watched it to see what I missed, and I was just like, oh, okay.
That was the beginning of the show, sir.
Hey, Vince gotta keep my attention.
Goodness.
This gotta keep my attention or else.
You already came into it with the sleepy eyes.
Listen, I was trying to, you know, stay awake, but Vince be doing the absolute most. Okay. And all we can do is just
So next up, it's our triple threat match. Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, AJ Styles to determine the new number one contender for the WWE title. AJ Styles is just going wild with a flurry. Riddle is able to escape. We get an overhead kick to AJ and the German suplex for a near fall. Keith Lee locks up Riddle for a German suplex, but Riddle lands on his feet. Right hand to Riddle from Keith Lee. Chop to Riddle. But then the flash knee lands to Keith Lee for Matt Riddle. Lee goes for a punch, but we get another knee to Keith Lee, and he is out of the picture. That leads to Matt Riddle turning into the phenomenal forearm from AJ Styles. AJ gets the pin, 1, 2, 3, and AJ Styles is your new number one contender for the WWE title.
Yes, he is.
This was a good triple threat.
It was. I enjoyed it.
Keith Lee looked really good until he got hit with those knees at the end, and then he was out of commission. Those were the two choices. It was either going to be Keith Lee or AJ. I don't think that they...
It wasn't going to be Dopey.
Yeah, I don't think they ever had any serious considerations for Matt Riddle at this point in time at his stint on the main roster. But your choice of AJ Styles, what did you think of AJ and Drew going
ahead? It's been a great match. It's been a great match at TLC. I'm definitely going to be going to get... We're going to get something good out of that.
Taking it back to TNA.
Yeah.
Days.
You know how they go?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be some super nostalgic people during TLC once they lock up and get in the ring, and they're gonna be talking about, oh man, I can't believe that I used to watch TNA a decade ago and this was, you know, a dream match then and it's still a dream match now.
I'm wondering this was Pritchett doing creative back then? Was he on a creative team for that?
I wonder. That'd be interesting to kind of put the timeline together and see just when that was for Bruce Prichard when he was head of creative down at TNA. Keith Lee shows frustration outside of the ring as AJ celebrates in the middle of the ring. Tall Bruce Lee Roy comes in to celebrate with him. Now, what are they calling him?
Omos.
Like, what kind of name is that?
No clue.
Like, the name generator has been failing WWE in the past couple of months here.
Right.
I like Tall Bruce Leroy, so that's what we're going to keep calling him here on this show.
It was just funny. All of a sudden, he ran AJ, like, he flips AJ over his back and carries him away. And I said the black man saving MAGA AJ, of course, it's 2020.
Charlie is backstage and she wants to talk to Miz and Morrison. She reminds them of Sheamus beating their ass. Charlie says that their plan backfired, so is there a new strategy for later tonight? The Miz says, of course there is. Match joined in progress. Dana Brooke versus Reckoning.
Mandy Rose had been injured. Dana Brooke was just trying to gather herself, trying to figure out what was going on for Survivor Series.
Again, this is the MO that we're learning of Retribution. It changed the narrative as they know.
Dana is all over Reckoning there. Thought she was going for a pinfall here, and you can hear Dana yelling about her opportunity and a kick out. Hook to the leg on Reckoning and a kick out.
And you can't blame Dana Brooke for being fired up, for not backing down for Retribution.
Oh, this is by far the most aggressive Dana Brooke I've seen, and obviously... obviously, she has reason, but Reckoning is also aptly named. Jabs and chops abound in the corner. Little spinal adjustment to finish it off.
We heard Slapjack say earlier tonight that Ali turned him into a weapon. You can only imagine, Joe, just how Ali has inspired Reckoning.
You know, Ali, he's gone around. He's collected his misfit band of toys, and he's given them purpose and a viciousness streak that's unparalleled, Tom.
Ali has essentially spoon-fed this feeling of resentment and discontent to every single member of Retribution.
Dana Brooke trying to get back up to her feet. Had a great opportunity at Survivor Series taken from her by Retribution, by Reckoning.
Think about it. Dana goes 1 second to attending to her friend Mandy Rose to thinking she's competing at Survivor Series and now being told by doctors, no, you cannot compete.
And Dana Brooke now is all over Reckoning.
And this will be ultra gratifying for Dana Brooke.
Put away Reckoning and Reckoning's first match here on Raw. Now Ali up on the apron.
She's trying to hit him again.
She should.
Reckoning went for the kick. Dana Brooke into the cover. Dana Brooke is pinned Reckoning.
Here is your winner, Dana Brooke.
Good on Dana Brooke. Brooke did not back down, stood her ground, and just earned a victory over Retribution's Reckoning.
So apparently me and him lost her mask in the early part of the match.
Yeah, she did.
And
I'm pretty sure right
like,
then.
It's me and him.
I'm pretty sure right then Vince can't call down and was like, change the finish.
Yep.
Because there is no way in the world
Dana Brooke was supposed to win that match.
Should be beating Mia Yim in this situation. Like, you really, the collective groan that our timeline let out when Dana Brooke won that match.
I was like, who? I was like, this. I'm like, you know what? I can't.
Yeah, like, man, what kind of sideways booking is this? first time she's, you know, had a real match, you know, on the Raw roster, and she loses to Dana Brooke after she beat Dana Brooke down a couple of weeks ago. Like, oh my gosh, this is not how this is supposed to go.
Yeah, Vince basically said, he definitely had said, change the finish to this because I'm not happy.
Yeah, that's the only way that went down. There is no way you could tell me that Dana Brooke was supposed to beat her in the way that that was set up. No way, no way.
Right.
Well, that gives Ali a chance to berate Mia Yim, saying that there is no failure in Retribution. Has he been watching his own highlights?
He sure has.
Does he watch this show week in and week out? Because there's been a lot of
failure, he does,
and Retribution. But that's neither here nor there. Backstage, Miz walks up to AJ to call his performance phenomenal. Morrison offers him a peach pie. AJ says he knows what they are up to. AJ says he'll help them. Miz wonders why. AJ says it would be a lot easier to beat Miz at TLC than it would to beat Drew. AJ says he'll see them out there, and then he takes him a piece of pie.
Well, he does like pie.
Yeah. Who doesn't like pie, though, man?
That was a Rock reference.
Isn't that un-American not to like pie?
Hey, some people don't like pie.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, the Rock asked, did Lillian want strudel?
Yeah. We get Matt Riddle backstage with MVP again. Riddle is pitching those ideas because, you know, MVP told him to come back next week with your ideas and they'll talk. Well, they talked, and MVP didn't like what he heard. And so slide in Bobby Lashley, puts Riddle in the Hurt Lock, and Matt Riddle passes out due to the Hurt Lock, and Bobby Lashley just leaves him laying on the hard concrete backstage. Slam the child on the hard concrete.
You know, you come with some trash ideas. The CEO would end that meeting abruptly.
Yeah, right. Keith Lee is backstage and wants to talk to Sheamus, saying some think he's going to turn on Drew. Sheamus says it's none of Keith Lee's business. Charlie is in the middle of the ring with Drew. She wants him to take a trip down memory lane. He says it feels good to be champ again. Sometimes you got to be knocked on your ass to see what you're made of. 2 weeks ago, he did what he told Orton he was going to do. Drew is a man of his word. He brings up Roman Reigns and how his confidence turned into frustration and fear. He tells Roman that their paths will cross again and he's going to win the war. Then he brings up TLC. Charlie brings up AJ Styles. Drew says he has no beef with AJ. The match will be great. He has advice for Miz. He says the briefcase is all that keeps him relevant. So don't cash in he'll do something and Morrison and stick the briefcase where the sun don't shine. I don't know.
There we go.
What my notes said right there. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, he just threatens him to, you know, do bodily and physical harm to Miz once he does try to cash in that briefcase. So the Miz and John Morrison versus Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Morrison flies off the ropes and Drew catches him and tosses him aside. Neck breaker from Drew. He kips up. Drew waits for Miz to stand. Sheamus wants to end it, so he tags. He asks for the tag. Drew looks to give him the tag, but Morrison pulls Sheamus off the apron, sends Sheamus into the post, then over the barricade. Drew turns and AJ is on the apron. Phenomenal forearm, and that results in a disqualification. AJ yells at the Miz to cash in the briefcase. Morrison then hits Starship Pain on Drew. Miz with the skull-crushing finale. That's when tall Bruce Leroy grabs the briefcase. AJ hands it to the ref. Miz grabs the briefcase. He isn't ready to cash it in. AJ tries to convince Miz to cash it in. Then he sees the position that Drew is in. He tells the ref to cash it in. Morrison is sent over the top rope. Claymore to Miz. Drew stares a hole into AJ Styles. AJ tells him, wait a second, hold on. AJ backs up against the ropes. Tall Bruce Leroy pulls AJ out of the ring. AJ yells from Bruce Leroy's shoulders that we better be glad his friend is taking him to the back. He is a lucky man. He will live to see another day.
Oh, that's when that happened. I thought that happened earlier and during the triple threat. Okay, that's when that happened. When he grabbed him.
Okay. He was carrying him like a small child.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I know he had said something about, I guess they was talking, I guess earlier he was talking to them, and he looked at him like he's surprised that he's like holding conversations with people.
This was okay. I mean, it was, you know, more for the aftermatch and the angle with Drew and AJ just to get you more interested in TLC, which is rapidly approaching. Yeah, so the Miz in the briefcase does nothing for me. I was actually more interested in Otis having the briefcase and maybe them doing something.
Right, because it was like basically Otis going to be had the briefcase, so it'd be the whole thing, you know, a training monologue, him training, you know, the cash in the briefcase, and they'll give it to Miz. And it's like, what the hell is this? This is not interesting at all.
Right. We've already seen this movie with the Miz and the briefcase before. Okay, main event. I really thought that the triple threat should have probably been the main event.
It should have been.
But, you know, with the big angle that came out of this afterwards, I can see why they wanted to end with this. The visual of tall Bruce Leroy with AJ on his shoulders walking out of the arena with AJ during the, you know, you better be glad he won't let me down. shtick. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it was like I said, it was a pretty okay main event. Wasn't nothing groundbreaking, but I guess this is just to move the storyline to TLC and everything. So,
right. Got to get the ball rolling towards that pay per view, which is in a few short weeks. So that was
it's the Sunday following Takeover.
Yeah, so that was that as far as this week's Monday Night Raw goes. This was okay. I mean, it wasn't a blowaway show by any means. I mean, it's Monday Night Raw. I can't think of the last time it really was a blowaway show. But, you know, they got what they needed accomplished as far as getting things set up for TLC, getting the main event set up. Now we'll just work on filling in the other matches throughout the card for Raw. I guess we're going to get another New Day versus Hurt Business tag team title match, but this time it's going to be on pay-per-view instead of on Raw. So there could be a totally different outcome on that. And I guess Matt Riddle versus maybe Lashley for the United States title. Seems like they're kind of building that up maybe. And that's really all I see right now. Maybe Asuka.
Yeah, they said the card was up in the air, so it wasn't really. So like they starting to put those matches together now.
Okay, maybe Lana and Asuka go for the tag team titles.
Maybe.
Really disappointed that they couldn't come up with something for Asuka, and they had to drag her into this tag team title thing. Think we really have missed an opportunity for her to have a killer program with
your girl. Could have been built up to have a good match with her.
Who was my girl? Peyton. Yeah.
Hey, Peyton could have been built up to have a good match with her.
Yeah, I mean they could have used this time to make somebody.
Exactly.
You know, Peyton would have been a good choice.
That was supposed to be the purpose of her splitting from Billie Kay, but Billie Kay is shining on SmackDown in her role.
Yeah, Billie Kay has found her niche. a lot faster than I thought she would on SmackDown, and I'm very interested to see where that.
She come over with the picture and talking about I have extensive and her resume was very, very like it is just well put together and everything, and I was like, oh, this is a great resume.
Yeah, and it's on the back of her headshot, so it's really convenient, right. Too. It's very smart.
And Michael Cole sitting there looking at the camera, talking about cut.
Yeah, cut it. Good. Anything else that has struck you throughout just WWE programming? Doesn't necessarily have to be Raw. We can kind of delve into other programming, SmackDown, NXT. By the way, this weekend, NXT TakeOver War Games this Sunday night. Use the hashtag #CastTakeOver to share your commentary with color.
So I remembered what I wanted to talk about. Now, I don't know if you want to make more dark match content or I can just talk about it here.
Yeah, we'll give him a little bit of a dark match for free. We'll
give him a tip. So did you watch the sporting event over the weekend?
The sporting event? Oh no, the you're talking about the Mike Tyson Roy Jones sporting event?
Yes.
No, I did not. I just watched everybody's tweets from Twitter. I was like, man, there is no way I'm watching this exhibition between these two guys.
See, you missed out on. So Mauro was on commentary.
Oh, Mauro Ranallo.
Yes.
Oh man, it's been a minute.
Yeah, he was on commentary.
Okay.
And then a couple people were upset because they was like, I don't like this guy. This guy and his sport references, and I was like, I had to defend my boy. I was like, listen, that's his thing.
Yeah, the pop culture. That's what we do.
That's what he does. He ties it into the commentary. That's what he does. Because he kept saying little things like he kept like saying like hurt business, and I was like, you know, yes, I know he misses WWE. Because he kept talking about hurt business and. And Snoop was on commentary too. And Snoop commentary, I was like, Vince need to be calling him and say, we want you to do WrestleMania.
He was that good?
Or he was that entertaining? He was entertaining. He was great. He was just coming up with little quips. Like when Mike and Roy was fighting, and he was like, this is my two uncles fighting in the backyard. Hey, grandma got, he's like, grandma going to come break this up. Hey, grandma, they out here fighting again. Yo, it was a great exhibition. They called it the draw. So Mike Tyson was just all point post-match. Mike Tyson, just, he was like, I'm like a beginner. You know, Jim Gray was like, you know, nobody's thinking about you, you know, worrying about the monster falling. He was like, I haven't fought in 20 years. His guy fought in 3 years. What about my ass? Why y'all not worried about me?
Yeah.
And Roy was like, man, when Mike hits you, you can feel it. I said, I bet you can. I said, Mike.
Man, Mike hit anybody at any age. They gonna feel it. It doesn't matter if you in shape, out of shape, ring shape, any type of shape. If you got feeling in your body, Mike Tyson touch you, you gonna feel it.
That's where I get cut off at.
No, we was just talking about you know, the end of the Tyson fight and how Mike was like, nobody was concerned about his well being. Everybody was worried about Roy.
Yeah, he was like, nobody kidding about me. He was like, I ain't fighting like 20 years. He was like, this guy ain't fighting like 3. But you know, it's a solid exhibition. Roy Jones was mad they called it a draw. He said, I don't do draws, I wear drawers. but Nate Robinson.
Yeah, man. It's unfortunate for old Natty Nate.
Nate Robinson. Never say Nate Robinson just got beat down and it was just not even close.
Yeah, it was a bad look. Like I said on Twitter, I don't know who caught it worse, him or Sticky Fingers, but either way, it was a bad look on both parts. You know, Nate got knocked down got knocked down twice and then knocked out on the third knockdown. So.
He got knocked out, and Snoop was like, oh, Lord. Look, Snoop said, oh, Snoop, like, oh, Lord. And he hear Marlboro going, Mama me. I said, oh, boy. He got hit, and that man was done.
Yeah, so, you know. Hopefully Nate has stayed off of Twitter and any social media for the last.
Oh no, he was. I guess they said he went back in his group chat and everybody was joking him and everything, but he basically, I think he did get on Twitter and say, you know, I guess he was like, thanks for the opportunity or something like that.
I mean, yeah, like, what can you say after you done got embarrassed in front of the whole
world? You got embarrassed in front of the whole world talking about some. He representing for his kids, his family, the NBA. I was like, I don't know. I said, maybe she got Jermaine O'Neal to got in this fight.
Ron Artest.
Exactly. No, but Jermaine O'Neal had the step punch in the Malice in the Palace.
Right.
He had the step punch.
Yeah, he hit that. So he hit that Saget punch from Street Fighter.
Right. And that was just it.
Yeah, man. That's still one of the. That was like the like 19th year history anniversary of that was like not like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was that night, too.
Me, I remember I was there, too. I was at work. I was at work. I was working at the movie theater, and it was like. It was a fight. The Pistons in the Pacers game. I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, he was fighting. So I had missed it. I was like, all right, you know, whatever. So I get home, and then I had ESPN on, and the ESPN was running the games back. So the next thing you know, it was an ad on ESPN, so they showed the game. They showed everything, even the fight. They didn't cut nothing like that. So they just knew how ESPN, they do the whole we're going to cut to the program or something like that.
Yeah, let's go to further
along. Next thing you know, right, we're further along, and the next thing you know, we're right to the fight. I was like, oh, they about to show the fight. Next thing you know, they did our test. It was like the foul. Next thing you know, the drink came from off the stand. And our test just looking around. And he just darted up at this. I was like, oh my God.
Me and one of my good friends were at a bar, the Down Under Pub off of Duke's campus. And we were actually in there playing darts. And I had just thrown and took my darts out of the board and had turned to walk back to the, you know, to where the line was and just happened to grab my beer and look up at the TV. And right when I looked up at the TV is when the hard foul took place. Mm-hmm. Ben Wallace fouled Artest and they kind of got into it a little bit, and then Artest went over to the scores table and laid down. That's right when I started watching, and then like you said the drink came out of nowhere, and then it was on, and then the whole bar is just standing around going holy shit, and then when Jermaine O'Neal came with the Superman punch, everybody was just like, oh.
Oh man, I said, Jermaine O'Neal should have been in this fight because he had that step punch, and that was just it. Dude just dropped.
Yeah, man. The Malice in the Palace was it was like the culmination of that era of basketball that everybody had been fearing for so long. You know, it started with Iverson coming in, you know, with the chains and the entourage and all that. So David Stern was trying to like.
AI was just that dude back in the day.
So David Stern had to scramble and be like, oh, we got to force a dress code. Try to classy him up a little bit. Make him look presentable because they're coming to, they're just wearing anything to the press conferences and showing up and anything to the game. So we need to change the imagery. Well, the Malice in the Palace was kind of like the last accord for that generation of basketball players. Because right. after you get the Malice in the Palace, then here comes LeBron, and he's all, you know, squeaky clean, and the NBA's been really tidy ever since.
Oh, man.
They don't have as many ruffians in the league like they used to. Patrick Beverley is about the last of the ruffians they got hanging on in the league. Everybody else is like really good dudes, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got no Steven Jacksons and no, you know, dudes that you clearly know would whoop your ass.
Listen, that Knicks team from the 90s, just Oakley, Xavier McDaniel, that was that squad that it was like you had certain players with teams who you knew was just they was like the ones who were put hurting on you.
Oh yeah,
they was told to go. They was told to go in the game, and you had to hurt somebody.
I'm gonna tell you who's the ultimate last one of those players. Udonis Haslam. That's all he's on the bench.
Oh yeah.
He serves no other purpose except for if the ruckus breaks out. UD is on the spot.
But it was great hearing this Marvel on the call, and I was just like, dang man, I just wish he was still calling matches. I said he would be great calling these matches in NXT, you know.
Well, you know, he had a situation with his family and needing to be closer to home. So again, you cannot discourage anyone for choosing family and health over, you know, their work. So hopefully
plus Vancouver is more closer to Los Angeles than it is to Florida. So
Exactly. All right, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, we'll wrap it up, sir, with your shout outs and thank yous.
Oh man, shout out to you, Dawn. Shout out to the WrestleCast family, Miss Simi, Jay to the Max, Terry's Boy, Anwar Starwin, everybody who in the hashtag with us, Word Exclaimed, Jupiter Julep, Cammy D, everybody who's just down with us, who's, you know, taking the time, coming to hashtags. Somebody randomly came to hashtag and was saying that Matt Riddle sucked. We was like, we're not going to argue with you, bro. he came in last night. He's like, yo, he's not that good. I was like, no lies told. I was like, we're not going to argue with you here. So you're not going to get any disagreement from us on that topic. We're going to sit there and agree with you and keep on watching the show. But, it's just been cool. You know, people just will drop in on the hashtag, say their little comments and everything. I'm like, we know. we're well-versed in this. We know Matt Riddle is like our cup of tea now because, you know, he was like, not even the scandal stuff aside. I was like, we know. We see it.
Yeah, we've been watching.
Like, we watch this every week.
Right. It's like,
and we see.
It's very difficult for people not to lose something of themselves when they cross that threshold from NXT to main roster. Only a few people have been able to kind of seamlessly make that transition. Matt Riddle has not been one of them.
He has not, man. Shout out to Classic, Greg, Sam, BD, Mel, because she always gets shout outs. That's about it. You know, y'all just keep watching. Like I said, NXT takeovers this weekend, Sunday. You know it's gonna be a kick ass show. Can't wait to hear you and Simi talk about that. Get y'all preview show for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this week's NXT and talking with Miss Simi as we play Who You Got for War Games. Again, use the hashtag Cast Takeover this Sunday starting at 7 p.m. to share your commentary with Color on NXT Takeover. I'd like to give a big shout out to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese for joining me once again here on the Rawcast. Thank you to Samuel Kalunga and Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Classic, Sam, Greg, Dee Dee, Jade, Miss Simi, Anwar, Terry's Boy, Queen Mel, Mindy, FNA, all the members of the GLOW. We definitely appreciate y'all. Everybody who stops in to use the hashtag, share the commentary with color, definitely appreciate it each and every week. To all of the patrons, let me give them a shout out.
Shout out to patrons. They be checking me on Word Exclaim. He be hitting me up like, yeah, man, that was such and such. You know, he be listening. He be, it's like a lot of us who be in there, they know that they had the knowledge of like the shows and everything. And I was like, that's what's up. You know, as long as everybody's in there, you know, talking and having a good time, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, shout out to the patrons who pay a little extra for the extra content. We definitely appreciate it. It keeps the New Japan Pro Wrestling subscription on each and every month, so gladly appreciate that. You can subscribe, become a patron over at the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. There you will find our AEW reviews of Dynamite each and every week. Me and Miss Simi, we talk about AEW. Then you'll also hear the candid conversations of the before and after recordings of these podcasts. There's always some banter going on, so I record that and give you guys some extra content. Could be about sports, could be about wrestling, could be about life. It's just always a grab bag. You never know what's going to come out of those pre and post show conversations, but all of that can be found over on our Patreon page. So thank you, patrons, for supporting, and consider becoming a patron as well. Also, keep the podcast free by supporting the podcast. Go to cspn.us, click on the tab that says keep our podcast free, do some shopping with any of those lovely sponsors on that drop down menu, and some of your purchase comes back to the CSPN to help keep all the shows on the WrestleCast network free each and every week. Check out the latest episodes of Cast It Strong Style. We're coming down to the home stretch of the Best of Super Juniors and World Tag League tournaments. We've got two more weeks to go, so please check out the latest episodes of Cast It Strong Style as we keep you up to date on both of those tournaments going on at the same time. It's been a lot of fun. There haven't been the high level quality matches in the Best of Super Juniors that we're used to, but maybe here in the last 2 weeks that'll change and the guys will crank it up and we'll start getting some of these more 4 and 5 star matches that we're accustomed to. But it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed getting reacquainted with some of these guys in New Japan, and I would be looking forward to getting ready for the Tokyo Dome show later this month. So yep. For my co-host Mo Meltzer, Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
First of all, it feels damn good to stand here once again, WWE champion. Sometimes you have to get knocked in your ass to find out what you're truly made of. But 2 weeks ago, I told Randy Orton I was going to claymore his head off and pin him right here in this ring and regain my WWE Championship. What happened? I claymored his head off and I pinned him right there and regained my WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre is a man of his word. I also told Roman Reigns that I was going to humble him, knock him off his pedestal. I was going to bring that condescending, arrogant right back down to earth. That's exactly what I did. You can tell a lot about a man looking into his eyes. At the beginning of that match, Roman Reigns, most confident man in the world. Why not? He's as good as he says he is. 99% of the time he's going to win that match, but that confidence, as the match progressed, turned to confusion, turned to frustration. As I kicked out of spear after spear, it turned to fear, because he knew I wasn't like any man he'd ever fought before. Roman, you know what I'm about now. Our paths, they're gonna cross again, and you may have won the battle, buddy, but I assure you, I will win the war, and you can believe that. But that's the past. We're not gonna focus on the past, are we? It's Monday Night Raw. We're looking to the future. We're looking to TLC.
Good question. Yeah, I think we should look ahead to TLC because we know as of tonight, you will officially now be defending your WWE Championship against AJ Styles at TLC. So, how do you keep your focus on Styles with the looming threat that is very much a constant of The Miz potentially cashing in his Money in the Bank contract?
First of all, there's no beef with AJ and I. He wants to be WWE Champion. I am WWE Champion. This is a treat for the fans because that match will be phenomenal. See what I did there? And The Miz. I'm going to give him a piece of advice. That briefcase is the only thing keeping you relevant, buddy. So don't cash it in. If you do, I'm going to have to take Morrison. I'm going to have to fold him up. I'm going to have to put him in that briefcase. And then I'm going to have to stick it where the sun don't shine. Get it? Got it? Good.